call the Board of Supervisors to session. Supervisor Valenzuela, lead us in pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chief Bradley?
Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful to be here today to conduct the business of the county. I want to just continue to pray for those who have suffered loss in the fires. And we pray, God, that there'll be those who can help meet those needs. We thank you for all those who have been giving service and working overtime on those on the front lines and those who've been supportive in a variety of areas. And Father, we know it's all needed to be an encouragement, to be a help to those who have suffered loss. And we also just give thanks for the rain that has come, for the new snow that is on the mountain. Thank you for blessing us with those showers. Give wisdom, direction, and guidance today to those making decisions in all of the matters before this board. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ms. Wendy, will do roll call.
Alrighty. Supervisor Haupt?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Present.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Here.
And do we know if Supervisor Kopseff is coming in today?
He will not. He will be absent today.
Kopseff absent. Great. Thank you. And just to make a note, the board will be convening today, actually, as all of the entities that they appear as, due to the adopted budget hearing, which is the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, Siskiyou County Power Authority, County Service Areas 3, 4, and 5, Airport Land Use Commission, and In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority. I believe that's all for me.
All right. I'd like to recognize two people. One is Mayor Dwayne Kaag from Wairika. I recognize him for being here. And also recognize former supervisor and past mayor Grace Bennett, who, as a compliment, has successfully failed retirement. He's still volunteering the full board for tons of projects. And I thank you both for attending. With that, we'll do presentations from the public. This time slot is information from the public.
Two more for. Be after those.
Information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk when addressing the board. Please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. And with that, we'll start public comment. Mr. Brian Cianone.
Good morning, Board Supervisor Brian Cianone, Director of Emergency Services here for Siskiyou County. I just wanted to give a quick update of where we're at and where we've been. So, as you know, this year has been a good fire season in the fact that we haven't had massive 100,000 acre fires. We've only burned about 81,000 acres for the county. Unfortunately, those fires were direct hits on multiple communities throughout. Right now, we are in the recovery effort of that through the, Rick Dean speak on that, but we are just finishing up the phase one debris removal and awaiting phase two. Right now, through the mill fire, we have 59 people in sheltering, and then we still have a lot of folks displaced from the McKinney fire and looking at some options for them as well. We have secured hotels and sheltering through 31 October, and then looking at a few separate actions as well through the remaining of the year, knowing that it's going to start getting cold and looking at weather again. And this year, again, is supposed to be not as wet. We're looking at another, they're predicting another La Nina. It's going to drop down in the Siskiyou as well. But we'll just have to wait and see what that brings us.
Yeah.
That is all I have pending any questions.
Any questions, colleagues? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Miss Joan Hoyt?
Rick Dean.
Oh, Rick Dean? Yes.
He's on the
Oh, I see. That's all right.
Good morning, Board. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. More specific to Supervisor Howitt's request, specific to the McKinney Fire, I'm going to address your request, sir. What's that?
Which one?
I'll address the McKinney Fire.
What you have?
Yeah. So, some background on that. Essentially, as Mr. Shinoni mentioned, we did completed the phase one hazmat removal on the 9th of September. There were 108 affected parcels there, approximately 118 homes lost, 185 structures that were destroyed. Three commercial, one being the Karuk Drive Resource Center, community center there for Klamath and the post office. We had a community meeting on the 6th of September. I want to do a shout out to Val Linfield, Chief Janet Jones, and Barbara Farrell for helping us to put that together. As a result, we gave a presentation regarding the phase two cleanup and had a decent turnout there. I want to thank SADOS and local OES for attending, helping us out with that. To date, we have 43 parcels signed up for the cleanup program out of the 108, so we're still working to get that in mass and working to get phase two lined up. So you may or may not know initially when the state granted us funding to move forward, we had local control, but with the addition of the mill fire, the state is now taking over that, so it'll be moving forward with all phase two altogether. So we've just been on the ground trying to facilitate things moving forward. We're working on getting contracts together. Should have the contract for assessment management piece of it here shortly, and probably a 30-day outreach to get the actual removal contractor. So that's pretty much the brief review on that. Something to consider for the board is potentially looking at what we did with the Slater fire with building codes, setting those back for McKinney. With the mill fire, predominantly that's going to be in the city of Weeds, so it wouldn't be as much of an issue there. Shastina, however, is under our jurisdiction, so if there's consideration to do similar things, let us know. The timing of that is critical, right? So if you want to pull that trigger, you want to wait until everything's cleaned up, so at least folks get the maximum 3-year period to take advantage of the building code objection. Any questions?
Go ahead.
A couple questions. I'm struggling with, do we have a figure on how many homes were insured and how many were not?
Today, so when we get in ROEs, we look at that. So the 43, there's less than 50% at this time that are insured on the McCain.
Okay. And then I'm going to put in a shameless plug today. There is a fundraiser for the rebuilding the community center Montague. October 1st, I'd really like to see a whole bunch of people there. I'm not one of the organizers, but I'd just like to remind everybody of how important that was in Hartford.
Yeah.
To get that back up and running so that the community could look forward with some energy behind the recovery. Anyway, I hope you all can go.
Okay. And just a side note there, comment, Mr. Sinoni, I believe, is organizing a grant to kind of assist with that.
Thank you, Mr. Dean.
Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Dean. Ms. Joan Hoyt?
Good morning, Chairman and Board of Supervisors. I'm Joanne Hoy from Siskiyou County Health and Human Services Social Service Division. I'm project coordinator with that agency, and I'm here to talk about the local assistance center that we held for the Mill Fire. We held that on September 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Weed Community Center. We had 857 households served and provided over 5,600 services through the 45 vendors that we had represented there at the assistance center. The vendors represented state, local government agencies, as well as national and local nonprofit organizations. 46% of the structures listed on the damage assessment report had some type of damage, ranging from affected to more than 50% destroyed. Of those, 117, 81%, were listed as over 50% destroyed, and we served 56% of those individuals or those structures at the center this time. We'd like to extend our gratitude to the American Red Cross and our local Wrigley store for providing lunches to the visitors of the assistance center. I'd also like to thank Melissa Cummings for helping me organize and getting volunteers to work at the lab. She put out a county email and asked for volunteers, and we had great response, so thank you, as well as also working at the assistance center. We had a lot of representation from many departments, and we really appreciate that assistance. This is my fourth local assistance center that I've had the opportunity to be a part of and help organize. But this one is a little bit different for me. As a former member of the Weed community and having family directly affected by this fire, it was truly an honor to be there to assist those family members, to assist those community members. I had the opportunity to walk around with one of my family members to assist her through getting services from the different organizations. And I have to say, I was truly honored to see what respect, dignity, and compassion that my fellow county employees showed the victims of this fire. So I just wanted to send my heartfelt gratitude to all of my co-workers for all their hard work and their compassion.
Any questions, colleagues?
Thank you for that.
Yes. Thanks.
Thank you. In the action movies, they never show that part of the action. They always just show what happens, but they don't show the full aftermath of what people face. Thank you. And Supervisor Bennett, are you here for Hibbard Field or here for the museums?
I'm here for museum and C2C and Hibbard Field.
Absolutely. Would you like to speak now, Supervisor Bennett? Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for all the work that you guys have been doing and all of the county employees and the things that they've been doing too. I mean, you guys are very, very important to the community, so it's really good. First, I want to talk about the museum. I gave Wendy a list of the events that we've been preparing and doing at the museum. On October 1st is our family fun day, and that starts at 10 until 3, and we just have all kinds of fun activities for families to come. We'll have food and music and a donkey and all kinds of fun things. I mean, it really is a good day. The kids learn how to make corn husk dolls and do all kinds of interesting things for them. And then we've been doing our Siskiyou Stories again. That's it. The second Friday of each month, we have different people come in and do stories about the history of Siskiyou County. And so I invite you to come to that and then go to Montague and enjoy a good dinner over there. So that'll be good. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about C2C. We're open 5 days a week from 10 to 4 most days. And we've had, as of now, the end of September, we have probably had 12,000 people stop. So it's really, really good, and we've been working with Discover Siskiyou and with their brochures and things up there. So it's a good thing to have that open. And during the fires, it was really, really important for us to be open and not let anybody go down the river. Not, you know, people were concerned about what was happening on the freeways and where their services might be and those kinds of things. So we were able to do a lot of work to direct people to the right places and make sure that they were, everybody was safe. So that was good. And then on the agenda, there's an on the consent agenda, there's a public works for Evans Construction, and that's for the baseball field for Hebert's Field. And earlier this year, we deepened the well that was out there, got a permit and deepened it, and it was 70 feet deep when we began, and we only had to go down 30 feet more, and we hit 200 gallons a minute water. So it was pretty spectacular, and we're really, really excited about this project. We'll be able to do irrigation with that for our outfield. We'll still have the city water for the snack shack and the restrooms, but we'll be able to irrigate, and we're replacing the infield. We're replacing lights. We're extending the outfield back about 15 feet and making it higher, and the irrigation system. The irrigation system was done in the 80s, and we've had numerous breaks in the lines, and the valves are all bad. So we have a great deal of interesting displays of water sometimes out there. So this will be really, really great. And we have, the high school uses the field, the Little League kids use it, and those are 13 through 15, and then American Legion comes in and use it. And this next year, there's a group that want to do Senior Babe Ruth again, as well as the American Legion. So we've got a lot of activity out there. We've had the high school drama club come out and do a play out there, and that was really, really fun to do that. They were there a whole week, and so the weekend after the fair, we usually do a free movie night and have a 40-foot screen put out in the outfield, and everybody comes and watches a movie, and it's a great entertainment night. So we do lots of good things to try to keep a lot of kids busy and off the streets. So I just wanted to give you a little update on what I've been doing. And you know, all of these things have really good board members, really super volunteer people. So it's great to have those volunteers, and you guys should be very proud of Siskiyou County as leaders, because we do have lots and lots of volunteers and lots of people that work hard to make our county better. So thanks a lot for all that you do, too.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Spinner. And Mr. Kagi, I'll bring you up for, I'll pull that from the consent agenda for your item.
What's that?
I'll pull your consent, I'll call on you, don't worry.
Okay.
And then right now, Johanna Brooks, are you?
Excuse me? Did you say Johanna?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I was reading.
That's right, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for public comment, and this, was there a specific agenda topic you were talking about, or?
No, I just need to read. I just need this to go into the record.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, I'm Johanna Brooks, and I'm a resident of Siskiyou County living in Dunsmuir. And I need to read this. It's a declaration of constitutional default, and I just need it in the record.
Right.
I'm with New California State Movement.
Right.
The state of California is in constitutional default and does not have constitutional standing as a member state in the union of states called the United States of America. We, the people, as citizens of the United States, living in California, are following the process of West Virginia that successfully restored the Virginia state government after the Wheeling Convention of 1861. Congress admitted California into the compact of statehood within the United States of America in 1850. And we can give you copies. Because their constitution ratified for consideration guaranteed a Republican form of government. Today, California is in a state of free fall at all levels. This free fall has been orchestrated over the last 170 years by socialists and communists, and we're now nearing the end of their socialist-communist plan that clearly demonstrates a design to reduce United States citizens living in California under absolute despotism. Today, this plan has eliminated the three branches of government, creating a monoparty legislature, which has enabled and empowered the rise of a pulsinomonious governor turned dictator. A pulsinomonious governor, and I may be pronouncing that incorrectly, it means showing a lack of courage and determination, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, is unfit to be the elected governor of a free people. Likewise, elected, appointed, and regional office officials of the state of California, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, are unfit to be the elected, appointed, and regional officials of a free people. California elections have been corrupt for decades. The state of California government officials have established secret election schemes within counties and school districts with the intent to embrace the plans of an authoritarian form of government. Their aim is to eliminate the state of California citizens' Republican form of government. I think we only have 7 Republican representatives in the Senate. It's totally unbalanced. An unconstitutional administrative state now exists in California in direct violation of the September 9th, 1850 compact with the United States of America. I can't finish this because I don't have enough time in the 3 minutes. My other counterpart is going to finish and get through what we can. We're going to leave you a copy so that you all know what's going on. And thank you for hearing me and letting me be on the record.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks.
Thanks.
Mr. Jeff Leland.
Thank you, Jeff Leland, representing New California State. Some of this is repeated, but this is a declaration of tyranny, so I'm just going to start after she left off there. A pusillanimous governor whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the elected governor of a free people. Likewise, elected, appointed, and regional officials of the state of California, whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, are unfit to be the elected, appointed, and regional officials of a free people. Governors and officials of the state of California have exhibited evidence of tyranny and treason against the citizens, counties, towns, and cities of the state of California. The history of the present pusillanimous governor of California, the past globalist governor of California, and other officials of the state of California is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over the state of California. We, the citizens of the state of New California, have petitioned for redress of grievances in the most humble terms, reading a total of 190 grievances at county courthouse locations within the borders of New California State during the course of 4 years. Let it be known to all the world that New California State and the state of California are not the properties, not the administrative state, not the province of any theocratic ruler, nor any monarch, nor foreign entity or government, but are states in the United States of America. New Californians and Californians stand united to follow the United States Constitution, Article 4, Sections 3 and 4, to throw off the tyranny that has been foisted upon all citizens of the United States. We, the citizens of the state of New California and the sovereign counties that lie within, united by our United States Constitution, declare that this newly formed and sovereign state and this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. The government of California, the current socialist governor dictator and monoparty system, along with local officials, are following a coordinated design with the intent to actively engage in acts of insurrection against the United States Constitution. The California government, in conjunction with the socialist state executive, instituted wherever the current socialist governor dictator has usurped power, has actively engaged in acts of secession, and have created a reign of terror on United States citizens living in California with the intent to secede from the United States of America, to thus destroy the very union of states which secures our liberty and freedoms. Betrayal by the sitting pusillanimous socialist governor dictator of California, the monoparty legislature, and local elected officials is evidence of abdication of their responsibilities of authority and sovereignty over the citizens of the United States living in California state. And this concludes these proceedings. I've got copies.
Thank you.
Do I just give them to her?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, there they are. Five copies.
She has to make a copy for us.
Thank you.
And then any more public comment in-house? Any public comment online?
You have one online?
Miss Alice Rogers?
Every 90%.
Hey, Miss Alice Rogers, we just had to reboot our stuff. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, Board of Supervisors. I was here this morning just to listen into the meeting, but after listening to the last two presentations, I'm just going to, for the record, say that the last time I checked, I was living in the state of California, not the state of New California. If these people have something to talk to the people of New California about, they'll waste their time. You want to talk about a mono government here? Look at Siskiyou County. We have one of those seven Republican senators. We have a Republican assembly person. You know, if you want more Republicans in office, get them in office, vote them in office. Do not come and just waste time with nonsense and big words. I don't know. I'd like to hear what's going on in the county of Siskiyou, the business of the county, and stop wasting time. Anyway, thanks for the time, and that's it.
Well, thank you, Ms. Rogers. Anything else on the line? Ms. Anna?
Showing no others online.
All right. With that, we'll go into a public hearing. Ms. Wendy will officially open the public hearing. We'll be doing item 5A first, which is the Mental Health Services Act. Are you doing that one first, Dr. Clark?
Yep, we've got that one. This is to the update on the 2022/23 fiscal year Mental Health Services Act annual plan update.
And then Dr. Clark.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I am here today with our annual MHSA plan update. This is the third update of the 2023 MHSA plan. So as you will see, the majority of services are carrying over from last year, but we've added several things that I just wanted to bring to your attention. Youth Empowerment Siskiyou will be providing prevention services for foster youth. This is our first year contracting with them for those types of services. We're also contracting with ANAW for prevention services as well. We have a longstanding contract with the Karuk to provide services, but we will be adding ANAW this year. We're also working with YPD to provide funding to add two officers to do homeless services in the community. Through the public comment period, we received feedback around housing in general, so we've expanded our contract with Housing Tools, which helps us to manage our housing programs, which seem to expand every year. We also received feedback that additional DARE services were needed in the schools, so I'm working with Sheriff LaRue to add a deputy position in the Sheriff's Office to provide those services and expand to other schools. And in addition, we've added some additional funding for the Six Stones Wellness Center. They're rebuilding their program since the pandemic. They really took a big hit during the pandemic. And I noticed in the plan this morning that there's one correction. There's a date that is missing on page 8, and that date is August 16, 2022. So that date in the uploaded copy, so that needs to be added. And that's all, unless there's any questions.
Presentation of correspondence from any other departments?
Not from the clerk's level.
Proponents or opponents? Any online?
Join on the line.
Any public comments?
Join
on the line. Not online. No rebuttals. With this, Ms. Wendy, I'll close the hearing. Mm-hmm. And discussion, questions, or motions by colleagues.
I'm just curious, because we do this annually, the whole process, are we getting more public participation? It seems like we always struggle to get people to step up and be involved when the time comes.
In the planning process?
Yeah, right.
We have made, we've significantly expanded our efforts in that regard, and so we had, you'll see in the plan, the dates of the public public meetings we held. We have really been struggling with maintaining an MHSA coordinator, so we've had two since Cami left, and that has made it difficult to, you know, so we're recruiting right now and hoping to get a candidate in, but yes, we have been much more focused on getting public participation in our planning process. And if you have thoughts about other places we could expand, I'm always open to that.
Yeah, I just, you know, in particular the world of mental health and what's going on, you know, I get it from this side, but it's like, what are you doing? I need you folks to step up and be a participant in the process.
Right.
It can't be me or you alone.
Right.
Right. Anyways, right. So I'll give some thought of how we can get more public participation, because it's critical to the process.
It is, and I'm always open to hearing new ideas.
I know you are.
So.
But
thank
that's
you.
Really preaching to the people that are out there to start passing the word around, be involved when it comes up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, no, there's way more thoughts in my head than time. So I can't thank you and your department, all of your departments, enough for everything you do for this community and the whole county. Whether it's homelessness, which goes along with mental illness, which goes along with addiction and everything else. I'm a huge supporter, which you already know. The fire victims are in crisis, and so thankful that you were able to come out and talk with them at the community meeting in Wairika from the McKinney Fire. They would not ask for help, but because those services were offered, it was amazing to see how they opened up and were able to come talk and took an 800 number that was handed to them, even though maybe they wouldn't talk about it in public, they were right there taking that phone number. And I don't think they would have asked for it if it wasn't offered. So I think so many people need the nudge, need the push. And if they don't know it's available, they're never going to get the help. So the more we can get the word out, the more they see that phone number on the back of a bus, which I noticed when I pulled up to a stop sign, I'm like, oh, look, the stage bus has the advertising on it. That was a beautiful thing. The more you can do that, and I know it's expensive, but those are the kind of things that really make an impact to people. While they're sitting in their car by themselves having a bad day, those are the kind of things. You know, the newspaper's iffy, but and we don't have a radio station. So those are the kind of things that are impactful for people. So the more we can reach out, I think the better we can be. The more you can get out in public and talk about the services that you offer, the better it'll be. Six Stones, everything, because that program is wonderful now and getting better all the time. Tara's program that we're going to hear about is amazing. So the more we can do to get that out into the public, the better. So, and the advocates we have out in the areas where people don't have good housing, that's going to impact things. The more we can do to build up Siskiyou Crossroads and the other programs we have coming available, the better it's going to be. So that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. I think one of the things that's really important about MHSA funding is it's flexible, and so we've been able to do things like fund the resource center in Happy Camp, and they've been holding Slater Fire recovery groups, you know, since the fire, and so, you know, it provides us opportunities in collaboration with our partners to really listen to the community and respond and provide services.
And I think that's a key too, is our outlying areas that
yes.
we can't get services to easily are the ones that are suffering the most.
Yes.
Thank you.
Supervisor Hopp?
So I may have answered my own question, but I was struck by a comment, actually by a line, and I'll spare Mayor Cake from answering this. In the letter that was handed to us this morning, I just read it. It says Siskiyou County residents are 3 times more likely to have mental health disorders and or substance abuse disorders when compared to the state of California. I guess I was kind of looking for that. Maybe the district court isn't the place for that.
We can certainly get you the link to that data. And I think you're probably aware that, you know, Northern California has very poor outcomes in terms of suicide and those types
right.
of things. And so we can definitely get you that information.
Thank you. I'm just curious where that came from.
And then Dr. Clark, same compliments that Supervisor Ogren gave your department, relative departments. What I appreciate too is it's not reinventing the wheel. In many respects, it's finding those partners already existent in the county and giving them stability so they can go out and be able to provide the services to their constituents. In regards to the YPD and search for the two officers, it's really innovative. I mean, I view them as, am I correct to say that in many respects, they'll be like a case manager? In some respects, they'll be able to, as Supervisor Rogan brought up, they'll be able to point the person that doesn't know that resource exists to those potential resources and be able to walk them through a little bit, just like Ms. Hoyt had to do in the LAC.
Yes, and this idea came out of the Homeless Advisory Board, the local board, you know, which is comprised of many partners, law enforcement, the hospitals, the schools, our departments, you know, just housing or homeless services providers. So I'm working with Chief Gilman on developing the program, but yes, that's exactly right. The goal would be to have, you know, officers that can respond to the community and help link people to services and try and divert them, you know, from the jail and other places and try and get them linked up to us for housing, but also other types of services.
Yes, absolutely. That's wonderful. And then also to address crime within the community that may happen, which we don't need to speak of, but it can happen.
Yes.
Could this potentially be a model for, I'll use these words, like a pilot project or a model that could be used in other cities down the road that you think could possibly be a benefit from something like this as well?
Yes, definitely. This is a pilot project. We are funding it through the end of this year, but I anticipate we'll have ongoing funding. We're also working on mobile crisis, and so that's another piece that I think kind of fits into this. So we'll have mobile crisis services in the county as well. So I'm not quite sure how all of that will fit together, but we have a planning grant to, you know, to work through that this year. So I know in my discussions with Chief Gilman, you know, a lot of what he deals with, I think I'm not sure where he shared this. It probably wasn't in this setting, but he had received like 481 calls, I think, in a 6-week period that were related to homeless issues. A lot of those were crises, right, which is another issue we need to deal with. So, yes, this is a pilot project, and we're working on a crisis response as well. So I think it will be available in other communities, and
right.
we have to see how this goes.
I'm excited about that because it's also going to help emergency services. Volunteer fire departments or ambulance
yes.
service or anything, they get called
yes.
to these and lessen the caseload.
Yes.
Dr. Clark, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any, for the motion, whoever makes the motion, just be sure to add the date change.
Yes.
And then any colleagues want to make the motion?
So moved.
So moved by Supervisor Aubrey.
Second.
And what was the date to add in again?
It is August 16th, 2022. And you'll see it's highlighted on the document that was submitted.
And that was on page 8?
Yes.
Okay.
I can.
Okay. Roll call. Supervisor Hell?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
And COPSEF is absent. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now open up a public hearing for the budget. We'll read the opening of the hearing and then the reading order presentation.
Yeah, this is a presentation of the fiscal year 2022/2023 adopted county budget. And we're looking at adopting a resolution to approve the budget, as well as a resolution amending the Siskiyou County salary schedules and personnel allocation list, and also adopt the county statement of allocated positions and salary schedules.
Presentation of staff report.
Good morning, Chairman Chris, members of the board, Angela Davis, County Administrator. It is my pleasure to be able to present to you today a balanced fiscal year 2022-2023 budget in the amount of $361,432. How's that? So that's our total budget. I would like to thank the department heads, all of the county staff that worked on the budget to be able to achieve a balanced budget. Also like to have a special thank you to the auditor's office, as well as a double special thank you to Sherry Lawson. She worked tirelessly on this budget and was able to complete it and compile it for presentation today. So at this time, I would like for Ms. Lawson to come forth and give an overview of the budget. And as she's coming, I also would like to say thank you to the board for all of your support during this entire budget process. It is greatly appreciated.
Okay, good morning, supervisors. Sherry Lawson, Deputy County Administrator, Chief Fiscal Officer. As Angela mentioned, the budget presented before you today totals a little over $361 million, so I just wanted to touch a little bit on some pieces of the budget for more information for you guys. Included within the budget, appropriations total approximately $191,800,000. Revenue totals approximately $169 million. That is both general and non-general fund. The adopted budget presented for you today is $12.8 million more than what was presented and recommended. That can be attributed to non-general fund adopted change requests that were incorporated into this budget. That totals about $5.2 million, and that is revenue and expenditures. Payroll projections were recalculated in August to include the salary increases as a result from finalized labor negotiations, as well as insurance increases that we will see in January. We had a $5.8 million encumbrance and purchase order rollover from fiscal year 21-22 into this fiscal year budget. And we are requesting approximately $400,000 in general fund personnel requests and approximately $900,000 in non-general fund personnel requests. I would like to note and mention that we did not move forward with any personnel requests during recommended, if you will recall. So included in this budget for general fund specifically, we have included several reclassifications for staff. Within the Ag Department, Community Development, County Council, and the Sheriff. We were also able to create new positions this fiscal year for general fund departments, including a vegetation control specialist for the Ag Department, a forensic technician for the staff, senior legal secretary for the district attorney, a supervising accounting auditor, and a deputy probation officer. Lastly, one item I would like to highlight is this year we were fortunate to have the ability to create an emergency disaster relief fund. As you are aware, and unfortunately it's becoming more and more common occurrence for CSU to experience disasters, specifically fires. The intention of this fund is when we have a federal or state declared emergency disaster that we can look to this fund to pay for expenditures, because responding to emergencies is costly and it does impact departments' budgets. So in an effort to mitigate that, when we have a disaster, we can look for to this fund to pay for costs related to emergencies, whether it's personal protective equipment, mutual aid, sheltering, food. Any costs related to disasters can come from this fund. The hopes is that this will also streamline our claiming process, so when we go to request reimbursements, whether it's from FEMA or from the state, we can look to one fund, to one place, to gather those costs. Any money that we receive from the state or from the federal government will go back into this fund, so we can continue to use this fund and to build this fund future disasters.
So I have a quick question. So remind me, was this money from the state? Did this come upfront money?
This money actually is a carry forward from general fund.
Okay, so we're going to use that as the seed money?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
With that, that is all I have to present to you guys today. So if you have any questions for myself, for Angela, for Diane, we are here to answer.
How much is the general fund that we really have to say?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The general fund.
How much was the carry forward?
Not the carry forward. How much was the general fund? You gave me a $300 million. I know that's not what we get to spend.
No, that's not what we get to spend. The general fund is balanced. We are projecting a zero fund balance by the end of 2022-23.
Could you give me just fund dollar amount of our general fund that we allocate resources to? I'm looking for the specific dollar amount of the general fund. It's not 300 and something. That's a cumulative.
No, no, no. Sorry. Currently, our general fund balance is 6.6 million, which we have.
I'm going to swear that before our general fund, what we deal with, the funds, the sheriff, the library, all these things was like 32 million, something like that. Is that, am I missing something?
Sorry, you're talking about the general,
the total.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Got it.
You interpret.
I guess I'm not, you know, I'm starting off by Tuesday. Okay, so, yeah.
I know what you're really.
Yeah.
So there's $43,766 million in appropriations, $39,650 million in revenue.
Okay, thank you.
And then just for the record, what's in the emergency fund?
We're starting with $500,000.
$500,000. So it's announced. Yeah. Okay. With that, presentations or reports by any other county departments or public agencies? Proponents? Opponents?
Showing on the line.
Any public comments?
No online.
And then there'll be no rebuttals. With this, Ms. Wendy, I will close the hearing. And bring it up for questions, discussion, or motions by board members. Supervisor Howe.
I appreciate the chart put together on the taxes. Thank you. Appreciate all the hard work that was done. Eli, I always want more. One of the things I guess I'm looking for, not this year, next year, you know, as we approach budget formation, as I talk to people and as I do presentations with the public throughout the county, one of the things I don't know, which I'd like to know, is trends. And are we funding the right thing? You know, I know we balance every year, specifically with the general fund. But this morning, I don't know, after my third cup of coffee, it all went off, but I don't want to get in this cycle like the federal government does in Congress, where we're just funding last year plus what we add to it. Because that doesn't give me any sense of accountability in programs. And so I guess what I'm looking for next year as we approach this is, I use building department for one thing. What are the number of permits this year versus five years ago? You know, how much business are we actually funding in particular departments? And are we shortcutting a department because something grows in that department, maybe declined in another, change in programs, those kinds of things. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. And next year, we've got a lot of time to work on.
Duly noted.
Thank
you. Any questions? I just have one comment. Any comments from you guys?
I just want to say thanks for all your hard work and diligence on this. I know this is huge. And I try to stay out of your way and don't ask questions. And my hope is that you can always be looking forward with the goal of planning this way and not this way, and being cognizant of how this affects everything and not just being focused singularly. I keep having the same discussion over and over and over again wherever I go, is that we tend to get really focused and kind of get blinders on. It's like, this is my job and this is what I'm doing, and we forget to take into account how what we do every day affects the bigger picture. And what are decisions, how are decisions affect everyone and long term. So just keep that in mind as you do your job every day, and what one mistake or one decision, how that affects us moving forward, and who it affects. So in everything we do, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. And the only comment I have, obviously, congratulations and work well done. Just for future budgets, of course, is always preventative, just like you're doing with the emergency fund. When you look at the bulk of our funding goes towards general fund, goes towards public safety. How often are we arresting the same person, putting through the resources, and then how we can attach those resources to stop that cycle for those sorts of things. But, work well done, and yeah, preventative care is very important. You want to fix the roof by slightly leaking before it leaks full bore.
Well, we're just real quick. I mean, we were very grateful for the ARPA funding. I mean, we wouldn't talk about roofs if you see some of the roofs being done. And our CAO building was far more extensive. I was talking with the contractor. I mean, the bats and the stuff that was in there was crazy. I would like to, you know, we were talking about trends, you know, something to put on everyone's radar screen. I'm just curious, is there any union people here, union presidents, or it's too bad because, we need partnership here. And if you look forward to what's coming through from the state, they're already 11% down on income tax revenues and stuff like that. Because, you know, we're not looking, you know, I've always advocated a 2-year budget. We need to start thinking about not maybe 1 year and we're starting the next process. And I think I've already been on my soapbox, we all deserve more money and stuff, but if there's no money to have, then what are we going to do? So we need to be creative on that front, but cognizant of what's coming down the pipe. And what I see coming down the pipe is not going to be beneficial to the fund.
So my point in bringing that up to the brother was, I want to be funding the future, not the past.
Mm-hmm. I've advocated this for years about being on the forefront and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's our thing to remember.
Supervisor Valenzuela, I did want to mention that Christine Gannon she's online. He was asking about the president.
Good, thank you.
No, I just wanted to correct.
It's like I only see them when they're, you know, in union negotiation. It can't be that way. I think I've said this, whoever the board chair is, we need to have quarterly meetings so we can be on the dialogue before you get into that no-talk zone, if you will.
All right. With that, any motions by colleagues?
Approved.
I'll second.
And that's all three of the recommended actions on the worksheet, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
I'll be an aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll go into the consent agenda. I'll be pulling item I because we have some public comment on that for the Proposition 47. We pull A. And then for item C, 6C, Ms. Davis or Mr. Kiernan, would you like item 6C pulled?
I do not.
Okay, all right.
I've made my concern known. The board will decide if it wishes to pull it for that on that basis or not.
Sure, okay. And then item, any other items to be pulled by any colleagues? We have right now item A and item I.
A, I heard H, I'm sorry. So A like apple?
I believe so.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
A is apple, I is in?
In yeah. Indigo.
Indigo, that sounds good. All
right.
Would that entertain a motion from colleagues for the rest of the agenda items?
Move to approve. Second.
Motion is second by Supervisor Valenzuela.
Second.
Second by
Thank
Supervisor
you. Okay. Supervisor Hal?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye.
If I can't find humor here, I'm going to. Someone's going to be giving me.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Item A, agriculture?
Yeah. So on the Wolf arena, if you will, I wanted to pull this just to ask a couple simple questions, I guess. Been confronted multiple times in the past couple of months about the livestock deprivation for the wolves. And for some producers, it seems like it's getting pretty onerous on them. And the last report I had were 15 or 17 wolves in the Shasta pack.
That's correct.
I guess what I'm curious is there any movement that you're seeing from the state? In that
Excuse case? Me, any new what?
Movement. In the reimbursement program for producers.
Introduce
yourself, Jim. Yes, Jim Smith, Siskiyou County Ag Commissioner. The movement is little with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife's $3 million that have been set aside. They currently have eliminated the advisory committee that included ranchers, livestock owners, I should say, CDFW personnel, and they have not moved forward in implementing that plan whatsoever. There is another option that I just came across, which is a nonprofit organization that is proposing to pay for depredations for livestock owners. I haven't got a real update or a feel for that yet. It's been presented to me last week, and I can't tell you how accurate the information they're giving me is, but they're proposing to fill that gap in California for depredations that have occurred by wolves. You alluded to the fact that we're suffering depredations in other arenas. We are. We're also being limited in those typical things from being able to offer assistance. And that's been problematic. Our ranchers have probably suffered upwards of 20 depredations from wolves this year. Most of them were calves early in the year, and there have been a few instances of 700-pound steers and calves being taken down. That's a pretty big steer. You know, it takes more than one. Patrick Griffin has video proof that we have 17 wolves. Some of them are from last year, the rest of them are from this year, and of course the starting pair are out there now inhabiting Shasta Valley, Butte Valley. They haven't spread out much yet, but under certain circumstances like we have today with drought, lack of food, water issues in the hills, and the most important part, their natural prey species almost disappeared from the landscape. They're going to be looking for some more food somewhere, so we're pretty concerned about that going forward. Mr. Griffin's presence in that interface has been very helpful, just thought I'd tell you that. He's going to be coming to the board for discussion in November, and we'll bring you an update. I hope that at that point in time we can also talk about the reimbursement program that you were asking about, the volunteer one. It's a nonprofit environmental group that is proposing that. What can I say? On the other side of that, some of our other producers suffered depredations from non-wolf issues. A bear, for example, a guy just lost 120 beehives. Our last commercial beekeeper in Siskiyou County had 120 beehives burned up in the fire over in weed. At the same time, he had a bear break into one of his apiaries, one that has been in the location for quite a while that is well protected, and destroyed his best producing 60 beehives right there. So we've had some issues. These depredation things are problematic in the way that we can deal with them. This gentleman actually had to sit out at night. He's a timber farmer. That's his other occupation aside of being a beekeeper. He'd been working at Chester. He actually had to stay up all night to protect the remnants of his bee yard. In order to protect it, he had to, you know, remove that bear from the presence. Unfortunately, he had to go to work the next day, so it's been a pretty traumatic thing. And it has a lot to do with how we're dealing with those particular species and depredation issues. Did I answer your question?
Yes, sir. And I was going to advocate for some kind of an update, but it sounds like it's coming in November. One of the things that what really concerns me is, Supervisor Kotzeff and I meet with California Fish and Wildlife every month on issues, and I just don't hear any traction from the state that these are issues to be addressed. My overriding concern is the states like Oregon, Idaho, Washington proactively embraced this situation and put programs in place. So that the impact wouldn't have to be felt on individual producers. And it appears our state has kind of put that aside and pretty much ignoring the issue. And I want to know, I guess, in November when you come back, what I can do to help put this in front of people that will start to consider it as a real developing issue for the producers in the rural counties.
I will offer you some suggestions in the future. I will tell you that California Cattlemen's, the Farm Bureau Federation, California Farm Bureau, and a few other organizations, farm organizations, livestock owners, have drafted a letter and sent it to CDFW addressing the plan that they put together that isn't implemented and the shortfalls that it shows. If you haven't seen that, I will be glad to share that with you. There hasn't been any response to that. It's been a month since that's been promoted. CDFW is not following any restitution plans that they claim they have. There's a plan in place. It's not an effective one. It's not very well managed, but it hasn't been implemented. And any kind of activity that would promote that would be helpful. In our county, there's been a few wolf depredations. I mean, not a few, but there have been quite a few, but there's only been a few livestock owners that are paying the price for this. You know, they're on the outside edges of Shasta Valley, so they're getting hit and unrealistically paying the price for all the rest of us. I would tell you that we have one note of good news when it comes to wolf issues. 103, which had the wounded paw that was causing most of the depredations early in the spring this year and went over to Scott Valley for quite a while, is in Oregon. Now, Oregon has a whole different way of dealing with wolves, and they're proposing to manage that wolf out of the harm's way because of his injury and because of his lack of being able to feed off of his normal fare, which is deer and antelope and elk, of course. So.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Move
to I'll second.
Okay. Supervisor Howe. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Thank you, Jim.
And I'll pull item I. Mayor Kate, did you want to speak on this subject, or are you just...
No, I can speak on it.
Absolutely. Come on up, sir.
We got the group here that wants to go first, and then I'll speak on it. Garson also.
Absolutely.
People that did most of the work, all the work.
Dr. Clark, just pulling item I for any public comment or anything like that.
Okay, so I'll let Mayor Kay go first. If there's questions, Tara and I are here to answer
them.
That
sounds like a good plan. That sounds like a good plan. Mayor Kay, yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, my supervisors and public, for taking this time to listen to me. The Prop 47 grant is going to be a crucial role for Wairika and for Siskiyou County. If you guys haven't noticed, we have a little bit of a homeless issue in Wairika especially. Mount Shasta, different adjoining cities also, they're having this battle. As statistics shows, we had 321 homeless individuals in Siskiyou County, and now that's about the last PIT point in time count that we did. Those numbers are actually a little low because that was during COVID that we did this last point in time count. So those numbers will probably be a lot higher this next time. The state of California houses approximately 50%, over 50% of the homeless population of the United States. The West Coast, I think, is up to like 70 or 80% now of the homeless population. So anything that we can do to help battle this issue and help resolve this issue is much needed, especially in our area. Growing up here, we've seen so many different things happen. We have a logging industry that's failed due to the spotted owl issues and stuff like that. But a lot of this, a lot of these issues started back then. The homeless issue started back then, and it's just escalated over the years. So if we can address this issue in a positive way, which this grant will help fight this issue. Is it going to put a permanent fix on it? No, absolutely not. We need more help from the state and federal government to be able to fix this issue. This is just one avenue to help fight this, to be able to get these individuals the proper help. So this grant to move forward in a homeless shelter, that's just one step. One step in order to fight this issue, get them the services, get them the attention and help that they need to address this situation. It's so crucial, and just like I said, one step in this aspect of moving forward. So any little bit of help is going to make a significant change in our area. With that in mind, I think I'll hand it over to the people that did all the work on this. I'm just here to show the support, the city of Wairika showing support in this avenue of this grant and this homeless shelter. So thank you guys for listening to me, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, this one, thanks you. I have, naturally, is the city of Wairika support. This one fully answers. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Keg.
Any questions from colleagues or comments from colleagues or motions?
I will say this, that State Association of Counties Homelessness routinely comes up. There's a program that's called PAT, Homeless Action Team. A lot of membership there is led by a supervisor from Riverside County, our first vice president, Chuck Washington. Every county has homelessness, and we've had homelessness for years. It's been exacerbated by lack of housing. It only gets worse when we lose infrastructure. I'm glad to see we're trying to move forward. But whatever we do, we'll never answer it completely. So we need to begin talking about projections. How do we prevent those people that are vulnerable from falling through the cracks? A quick story as an example, I think it touches all of us. I have a high school friend for a couple years was homeless down in the Bay Area. It took far too long, no family, no support system, to finally get help to be put into a subsidized place is what it is. So I appreciate all that we're doing. I appreciate everyone's support, particularly the city of Wairika. Anything we're doing is a step forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just say for the board's knowledge that all of the funding we pursue at Health and Human Services outside of our regular funding sources, we have allocations for housing that we have been in place for years. But all of the grants that we pursue are grants that are trying to meet a community need. So the majority of the grants we pursue have a community process for input. But we are really directed by the local homeless advisory committee in terms of, identifying needs, and if there, that is an open meeting and anyone in the public is welcome. So people who have ideas about other ways that we can, serve the community by addressing this need, we welcome all of that input. And I will just, I like to call out Tara Ames, who is an amazing project coordinator. She works for Behavioral Health and has been instrumental in applying for grants and developing programs, and we had a previous Prop 47 grant that has been very successful in partnership with probation. So I appreciate your work. She's phenomenal, and
we're happy to answer other questions if there are any.
Did we use the, take advantage of the Project Cone King dollars from the state? Were we able to use that?
We have been in conversation with the city about that, the city of Wairika, so we are considering that for sure.
Thank you.
And of course, the warming fires and those things really touches, shows the importance there.
Yes.
Any motions or questions or help?
I'm looking for a location for this.
So we have been in conversation, obviously nothing is finalized, with the new owner of the old Goodwill building. Next to the Forest Service, I believe. It's on Highway 3. I'm not sure what's on the other side.
The dealership,
I
think. On the other side of it is a motel.
A motel, yeah. So it's on Highway 3. Not that far south of our building at 818, Social Services building.
Okay.
So we've been in conversation. We haven't, wanted to move forward. We haven't been able to move forward until we've come to have this conversation.
I was just wondering if we're talking new construction.
No. Because
whoever put this in the packet can't read the specifics. Because when I can read everything related to the county, because it's nice and large, but when I go to the actual specifics, the pages are shrunk down really tiny.
Is that us?
Oh,
that's an issue on
The PDF.
The PDF.
When it came up
it's
online,
hard.
I noticed that it was some pages are really big, and then you get to other ones, and they're tiny for whatever reason.
Micro SD cards,
that's very frustrating.
Not your issue, but
it might be.
Supervisor Ogden, since it's your district, would you like to?
I will. So move.
Second.
Motion and a second.
Okay.
Roll call.
Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren.
Absolutely.
And Supervisor Chris.
I'll be an aye also.
Thank you very much.
And then, Ms. Wendy, would you like a short break?
That's what I'm thinking. That would be nice. Yes.
Gotcha. With that, we'll go into break and then come back for solid waste use.